So, welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, today we talk about the best distribution. No, it's open source Thora. And what is it? So, as you might have heard, who has heard of Thora? Yeah, a few hands. Who has not heard of Thora? Everyone here, but we have people in the stream maybe. So it's a new distribution based on OpenSUSE Tumbleweed, but it's rolling slower. We will see details about how exactly that works, and most of what it does is scripted, so you don't have to do much manual work and can enjoy the conference here. That's really nice. And another nice thing we have is that we have maintenance mode. It's like Leap. So you get updates, but you can also still install the old versions. That's not like in Tumbleweed. When you have a new version in Tumbleweed, then the old version is gone from the repo. It started when we discussed about Leap 16, and there was a lot of uncertainty if there will be a SLE 16 back then. So we didn't know, can we even do an OpenSUSE Leap 16 if there's no SLE 16? That's really hard. But what we can do is based on Tumbleweed, but be a bit slower and still release security updates. So that's what I started and tried it out, and it worked amazingly well. And who exactly is working on it? One is me, and some contributions came from one guy from our SUSE security team, who packaged the kernel long term. That is maintained by upstream kernel contributors as an LTS kernel. Currently, it's on 6.6, and it's getting regular maintenance updates with both security fixes and feature fixes. And there's already a small community, mostly on Reddit, sometimes also in other places like the factory mailing list. And they already start to use the distribution and provide testing and bug reports. So why would we do yet another distribution? It's pretty simple. There's Leap on the one hand, where 15.0 came out 6 years ago, and some of the components in Leap are still 6 years old, never got updated. And that makes packaging for Leap really hard because sometimes you need new dependencies and they're just not in Leap, and it's sometimes hard to get them into Leap because it's part of SLE and SLE tries to be stable. So some software is hard to package for Leap. And on the other hand, we have Tumbleweed. It's really easy to get packages into Tumbleweed. It's rolling really fast. You have the latest things. If you break something, you can have a fix 2 days later. And there, that's really nice, but really sometimes there are breakages. Recently, we had the Mesa issue where it showed broken graphics on AMD graphics GPUs. And then a short time later, we had broken Wi-Fi on Intel Wi-Fi adapters. So that can happen, and it does happen because there's OpenKA test coverage, and OpenKA test coverage, as you might know, uses a lot of KVM virtual machines and does this virtual user thing to try out various things. But KVM cannot emulate an AMD and GPU, and it cannot emulate an Intel Wi-Fi adapter. So these things cannot be tested in there. But I filed a ticket to add some hardware tests. It's modular, so you can plug in some HDMI capture and USB emulator in OpenKA, and then you could test more of these in OpenKA for Tumbleweed. And that could also make Tumbleweed more stable. That would be a great enhancement for all of us. And how exactly do we do Thora? So on one hand, there's a wiki page that has all the relevant links, including the one on top. But that one on top is the main thing I work on. That's the tools where all the rules are encoded. Currently, it's Bash and Perl, because Perl is nice with pattern matching, so we can check the changelog and look for magic keywords. You could use AI, or you could call your Perl script AI because it's doing interesting stuff, but at least it's fully deterministic and predictable, and that's what I like about having it scripted. If you want to have a look, do we have it somewhere? I opened it up somewhere. Yeah, that's a part of the main select updates script, where it checks when it should update a package. And one easy match is when there's a CVE mentioned in there, then the delay gets reset to zero, basically. So it is an immediate update. But on the other hand, if there's no CVE but only a normal bug mentioned, then it gets speed up a bit by 30% faster. And then there's other factors that are considered there. And some packages we just don't update, like a major KDE version update. We leave that for the version bump later. And the version bumps we see maybe exactly here. Not here, that's a daily update. The top graph here shows Tumbleweed. Tumbleweed got an update here. And a few minutes later, my cron job came around and did this bump in the blue graph. That's a build project. So there's moved a few extra packages into the build project at that point. And then they get built in the build project in the Tumbleweed context. So when we have older libraries and Tumbleweed, we cannot reuse. When we have older libraries in Slora, we cannot reuse the Tumbleweed binaries because the Tumbleweed binaries might require the newer library. So we rebuild everything at that point, and that takes a bit, like 2 hours in this case, and then it gets pushed out into Slora update repos. That's this bump here. And at that point, it becomes available to users. But we don't just push out our own Slora binaries, because then at the next version bump, we would have to throw away all of these binaries, and Superdup would say, oh, we need to update a lot of stuff. So there's a step where I compare the binaries that I built in the Slora build project to the official Tumbleweed binaries. And if build compare says, yeah, it's the same binaries, then I just reuse the Tumbleweed binaries. And the Tumbleweed binaries, that's the green amount here. So that's really 3/4 maybe, or in numbers, if we have Tumbleweed packages in Slora 800 and Slora specific packages only 200. So yeah, it's really a large packet, a large proportion is just Tumbleweed binaries that we can reuse because they're fully the same. And a few that differ, yeah, we have to have our own binaries there. And that's where my other pet project, Reproducible Builds, comes in nicely, because there's really few packages that always vary. And these would show up in the yellow parts and would have to be discarded at the next version bump. And how does a version bump look like? We had one at the start of this month, early June. So Tumbleweed was moving, and it was getting away a lot from Slora, and at some point it's so far away that it's really hard to keep updating. So the rate of updates goes slightly down over time, because we don't want to take these major updates, but then we also don't get minor updates on these packages that already had a major update. And we don't want to do backports, because backports are manual and a lot of work. We only do that for important security updates where we don't want to take the major version bump of a package. Yeah, and for the version bump, the decision currently is to do it monthly, because it's a nice cadence, it's nicely predictable. So the next one will be around the 9th of June, July, and then 9th of August and 9th of September. That's the plan. And I take a Tumbleweed snapshot, but I took it here a bit earlier, a few days before. So it's nice that Tumbleweed can also still get fixes in the time after I take the snapshot. And then I can prepare some things, like I can build the DVD from the new Tumbleweed snapshot that installs Slowroll. And when that's all prepared and done, then I run another make target that says, okay, now this Tumbleweed snapshot from 6 days ago. Now it goes out on the servers to all the users, and that's this bump here. And there you see there's already a few updates that also come along that fixed issues that were discovered in Tumbleweed and already fixed by that point in time. So then the slower users never saw these issues. That's a nice thing there, of having this extra delay of a few days before between taking the snapshot and publishing the snapshot with a few updates on top. Yeah, and then it starts rolling again. Sometimes there's phases where Tumbleweed stops rolling. I think here was a weekend and there was some issues, or here there was some systemd, up armor, whatever problem. So sometimes there's these phases where it stops rolling. And in that case, I still had a daily cron job where I pulled updates, but I realized maybe it's not so good, because if Tumbleweed doesn't get updates, then I don't get bug fixes anyway for issues that aren't there, so I don't need to pull updates. And that's why here, when there were no updates, I also did not release updates for slow roll. So it moves really at the same cadence as Tumbleweed there. And then when there was a big update, I got a slightly bigger update here, but not as big as Tumbleweed. So yeah, it's really nice to see that in the mooning graphs. So there's some open issues that still need some solution. One we had when Tumbleweed moved to KDE6. There was some package about whatever KDE Settings Center, and it got a new name because the old one was KDE Settings 5 and the new one was KDE Settings 6. So it was basically a rename, and for renames we add these obsolete values and spec files. And currently my scripts say, yeah, new packages, that should be safe because it's just a new package. It can live on the site, but when there's this obsolete, it means that Zyper sees, yeah, the old one, we shouldn't keep that. So it decided to uninstall the KDE 5 version of that software. And the KDE 6 version didn't work on KDE 5. So users said, yeah, it's broken now. And then I reverted it, because it's easy when it's just an update repo. You just drop the KDE 6 version, and I have a blacklist where I can add packages that should not be updated automatically. So they only get updated at version bumps or if I do it manually. And the other thing I discovered is that when I look at this changelog, if there's a CVE mentioned, sometimes there's new mentions of CVE when there was not actually a fix added. There's even two reasons for that. One reason is Upstream fixed it, Upstream released a new version, we got the new version in Tumbleweed, I got this version in Slower already, but they didn't add a CVE reference to the changelog. And then later, when they come around to it, then they add the CVE to the changelog, but the fix was already in the package that we have in SlowRoll. So, but then there is this Tumbleweed update where it says, oh, there's no this new line that says there was a CVE fixed, when actually we did already have the CVE fix. So, yeah, it's sort of bogus. And the other case is when the changelog said remove CVE something patch, yeah, that doesn't fix the CVE either, but it matches the regular expression, so yeah, we need to be a bit smarter. It shouldn't be too hard in the second case at least. Yeah, it's not perfect, but yeah, it doesn't hurt. Then it's just one extra update that pops up. So it doesn't even break things. The obsolete one does break things occasionally. Yeah, we had more problems to solve. For example, in the build service, we have this nice feature called Download on Demand, or DOD, and we use that to import other distributions like Fedora. And for these, when we want to build, we pull binary RPMs from an external HTTP server, and then we can build against things, but it has a disadvantage that we don't even have the sources. We just have the binary we used to build. And for building DVDs, we use a tool called Product Builder, which is an old fork of Kiwi version that was still written in Perl. And that was really confusing when I first looked at it, because I was seeing these Kiwi messages and it didn't match up with anything I saw in current Kiwi versions. But this old Product Builder version wasn't able to use packages from Download on Demand. So as a solution there, I did an OC release, which takes sources and binaries from Tumbleweed and pulls them into a project. In this case, it's a Slurl-based project. And then I have the binaries in OBS, really, and not just via Download on Demand, and then I can use them for DVDs. So that problem is solved. I can have really nice Slurl DVDs with a nice Slurl logo, and it just works. NetInstall is still a bit more tricky because, yeah, reasons. There's different components that have IDs and they need to match on the FTP server, but I take a snapshot of the Tumbleweed FTP tree and use it for Slurl, so I need to override the ID in the NetEyes and then it still works. So it's sort of solved. But then the installer still has a Tumbleweed logo in there, but yeah, who cares? At least it installs Slurl nicely. That's the main thing. And there's another thing called FreezeLink. I use that because we have Pacman. And Pacman does this thing where they link a few packages over from our build service into their project in the Pacman build service. And they rebuild it in their context with their rules. But to be able to link, there need to be sources on our side. And as you might have heard a few minutes earlier, Download on Demand only pulls in binaries, not sources. And for that, OBS has this nice feature called a project link. So in the base project, I just say I have this project link pointing to Tumbleweed. But of course, Tumbleweed keeps rolling and rolling, and I don't want the latest versions. So I call an API called FreezeLink that's poorly documented, but it works. And then it still has the same project link, but it has a reference to very specific versions in Tumbleweed that don't update until you call FreezeLink again, except there's a bug that times out after 10 minutes, and for such a large project, updating takes 15 minutes, and then there's a nice workaround that I implemented that's delete and do a new FreezeLink, and then it works. But it's still imperfect, because when there's new packages added to Tumbleweed, then these sources will still pop up in that project as a project link, because these are not mentioned in the FreezeLink, and yeah, maybe there could be a fix on the OBS side to ignore them if they're not mentioned. Yeah, and deleted packages could also be a problem, but most of the time we don't drop important packages, so far deleted packages were not a problem here. Yeah, and another issue were packages that depend on each other, so when we update or whatever Telegram Desktop, there's another component called Telegram Web, and those need to match in certain versions. Or we have another called OpenSSL 3 and OpenSSL, and they want to have certain versions. And in the beginning, that was also tricky, even though I don't always correctly resolve these. So resolving that still needs some manual effort. So in the good case, it just shows up as unresolvable in the build project. And then I can see, OK, there's some fix that we would want to have, but it's not released yet because it couldn't be built. And then I have to look manually and pull in the right dependencies and resolve that. Yeah, and sometimes it's just unimportant packages, and then they stay waiting for the next version bump, and then we get the update anyway. And we can have, that was already the second problem fetch. There's still some things we need to do more. For example, OpenQA tests would be nice. So we know that the updates we release work, or the DVD image we build works. So there was some work done for some VM image, but it bit-rotted a bit away. So currently we don't have working OpenQA tests. On the to-do list is also something about install tests. There's a nice tool in libsolve package that lets you check, can I even install this one package? And then it tells you, nah, it needs this other version of something, and that should be easy to run. Yeah, but needs some scripting as well. And the second thing is really to do better tracking of CVEs and bugs. For example, if a package contains a CVE fix and it ends up in the build project as unresolvable, then yeah, I see it as unresolvable, but it's in a longer list of 10, 20, 30 packages maybe, so it doesn't stand out as maybe we should prioritize this one to get it released. And other major bugs or even minor bugs we would also want to prioritize, but there's no proper tracking besides the initial looking at change logs and pulling it into the build project thing. And certainly what we could improve is that we could look at pending updates. So when something is near in Tumbleweed and we are about to take it into slowroll, but there's a submit request for this thing, maybe we want to wait for the submit request to land, so we only get one update in slowroll and not two of them, where the first might even be broken with a bug. We don't know. So that's also still to do. Yeah, and on the plus side, we had some nice achievements. We have pretty smooth monthly version bumps, where most of the tasks are already scripted. So you just call certain make targets at certain points in time. So two or three of them. And we managed to avoid some of the tumbleweed problems, for example, the Mesa AMD problem we didn't get because it was a major version update of Mesa and we only take major version updates every month. Yeah, in another case, like the Wi-Fi problem, we did get because yeah, it was in a firmware package and they thought, yeah, getting firmware updates might be good and safe because someone tests these things, but yeah, apparently it's not extremely well tested. And there was also the author of Gecko Linux, someone going by the name of SB, whoever that might be. And he said, yeah, I want to use slowroll instead of tumbleweed because maybe it's more stable or not rolling that fast. So he has an easier time building his images and following updates. So should be nice to see that one. And with that, we are at the end of the slides and open for questions. Maybe we get the microphone in the back again. Yeah.
Thank you. My question would be, are there any plans to make a new variation for microOS that will be based on the slow roll? Because I could see a lot of benefits for the system that has to be automatically updated overnight, and with slow roll it could be potentially a little bit more stable.
Yes. Actually, when you look at the OpenSUSE release package that we have in slow roll, you would see that there's not only a tumbleweed slowroll flavor, but also a microOS slowroll flavor in there. But I don't actively test that one. So it might work. Someone at SUSE tried it out, one of the trainees, and said, yeah, it's working. So it could just work. Replace the repos in your microOS and roll slower, and then at the next version bump, you will get a larger number of updates like this 2,000 package gap, something. But it can work. So question is if we should make that one an explicit flavor as well and communicate more publicly about that variant as well. Richard might be opposed to that because he said MicroS should be so stable, but I don't know. Yeah, but if it works and we don't have extra work for it because we already do the work for Tumbleweed's Laurel flavor, then why not? Do we have more questions?
Thank you.
Okay, if there's no more questions, thank you.